Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing? You recovered from the delicious Easter food that we had?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You guys took a nap after that, I'm sure. All right. Good morning. Looking at all your eyes. Okay. You all know who I am. Ask me my name later if you forgot it, okay? We're doing the series in we called it the Upper Room, right? This sermon series we've been doing through Lent, and we're looking in the Gospel of John, and we called it the Upper Room because the Upper Room is the last place that Jesus had a meal with his disciples, the Passover meal. And the idea behind the sermon series was, what does Jesus leave with his disciples? What are kind of the last things he tells them? What are the last things he teaches them before he dies and before he ascends to heaven and leaves them here on earth to continue his mission? So that's what we're looking at in this series called The Upper Room. And we've seen a variety of different sermons through this passage. Jesus teaching his disciples that they are commanded to love one another, that they should be known by their love. They're commanded to tell people about his resurrection, that he truly did raise from the dead after he was killed. And today, we're going to do our last sermon in this series, looking at John chapter 21. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21, we're going to read verses 15 to 19. And kind of some context for this passage. So you may remember this story. It's a very vivid story if you've read this before. But this is after Jesus had been raised from the dead. It's a few days, maybe a week or two after Jesus had been raised from the dead. And he had already appeared to his disciples twice after he was raised. And at this point, Peter and the disciples aren't really sure what to do. And Peter decides he's going to go fishing. So he decides to go fishing this day. And a bunch of the other disciples come with him. So Peter and some of the other disciples are fishing. And they spend all night fishing, and they don't catch anything. And we've been going through the Gospel of Luke. That may sound a little familiar. And then when the sun came up, they see someone standing on the shore. And this person tells them, let your nets down on the right side of the boat. And they do it. And they hadn't caught anything all night. And then they get this huge catch of fish all of a sudden. And they realize that that's Jesus standing on the shore. And so Peter, as Peter does, jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore. He doesn't wait for them to get rowed to shore. Jumps out, kind of leaves his brothers behind with this huge net of fish. And he sees that Jesus had prepared a charcoal fire with breakfast on it for them to eat. And so they eat breakfast together. The rest of the disciples come. Peter helps them eventually get the fish pulled in. They cook some of the fish, and they eat breakfast over this charcoal fire. And that's kind of where our passage today picks up. So let me read starting in verse 15 of John 21. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told him. A second time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him. You know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord. Does anyone know what these are? I have another example. Maybe. It might have gotten taken. Someone needed one quick. That's what they're for, right? Who knows what these are? Shout it out. Raise your hand. Post-its. Okay? Is that what everyone calls them? Is there any other strange names for these?
Squares.
Squares. Sticky notes. Okay, that's a good one. Sticky notes. Did you have a name for these?
Post-its.
Post-its. Okay. We got post-it notes, sticky notes. Okay? What do we use these for? Squares. Sorry, squares. What do we use these for? What are they for? Notes. Okay? What?
Drawing.
Great. I like that. What else do we use these for? Why are they sticky? Cartoon books? Why are they sticky if we could just draw on paper, right? We could write notes on paper. Why are they sticky? You want to stick them on something? Okay, you want to stick them on something? Why would you want to stick them on something? Because why? To remember something. That's right. You're proving my point here. Thank you. Post-it notes, we stick them in places that we'll run into them again, right? Or places that are related to something that we want to remember. And this passage, as we read Jesus talking to Peter in this conversation, Jesus is reminding Peter of things. He's giving him metaphorical post-it notes. And he's telling him things that he wants Peter to remember. And Peter has been through a whole experience with Jesus up to this point. And Jesus here gives Peter three post-it notes that he wants him to remember. He wants to stick to himself and things that we need to remember as well. Jesus lovingly confronts us with three reminders that we need in order to truly follow him. And the first one we're going to talk about is a question. Who likes to ask questions here?
You.
Oh, Rose says she does. Okay. Anyone else like to ask questions? I do. Okay. Kevin, Demetrius. Any of the other kids like to ask questions? You don't ever ask questions, right? Thea, do you ask questions sometimes? Do you guys ever like to ask the same question a lot of times? Do you? Rose, you've done that before, right? Yeah, yeah, okay. Do you guys ever ask the same question a lot of times? Never, you've never done that once before in your life, all right? Okay. Well, Jesus does, so I guess it's you can do it, right? It's the green light for asking the same question a lot of times. But in our passage, he asked Peter the same question three times, right? He asked him, do you love me? And we think about this question, this last kind of conversation that's recorded between Peter and Jesus, we think, is that really the most important question he could ask, right? We can think of other questions that we think might be more important. Like, do you believe I'm the Messiah now, right? Will you obey me? Will you contribute to my mission, to my cause? But Jesus is making this very personal for Peter. He's looking at him, standing across from this fire, this charcoal fire, and asking him, do you love me? And this is a question that each of us should also ask ourselves, and even imagining as if Jesus is standing in front of us, asking us this question. Do you love Jesus? And personally, do you love Jesus? Jesus asked this question to one of his most beloved apostles, one of the disciples that had been following him from the very beginning of his ministry. Some would say one of the most dedicated followers of Jesus. Peter walked on water. Peter was the first one to proclaim that Jesus was the Messiah. Peter, even just moments before, had jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore to get to Jesus as quickly as possible. Being a follower of Jesus, even a dedicated and committed follower of Jesus, doesn't exclude you from this question. Jesus asked Peter this question. And Jesus knew one of his closest followers sold him to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. Someone who had followed him, been dedicated to him, contributed his life from his resources to him. But Jesus knows the most important question that he can ask Peter at this time is, do you love me? He's not asking first and foremost for our obedience. He's not asking first and foremost for our belief or affirmation. He's not asking first and foremost for us to sacrifice our resources. He's asking, do we love him? Jesus knows that love is the spring that feeds all the other waterways of our lives. Where love goes, action will follow close behind. Obedience without love is not what Jesus is asking about. Belief without love is not what Jesus is asking about. Sacrificing our time, our money, our talents without love is not what Jesus is after. Jesus wants our love. Do you, followers of Jesus here today, do you love Jesus? Jesus is reminding Peter and he's reminding us that love for him is the most important question he could ask about. And maybe today is the first time you've asked that question of yourself. And maybe today is the 1,000th time that you've asked that question of yourself. But this is a question that Jesus leaves with his disciple Peter in one of these last conversations with him. And it's a question that eternity hangs on. Do you love Jesus? It's the first reminder that he has, this first post-it note that he has for us. Do you love me? Our love for Jesus is central to our walk with him, to being his disciple. Can I please get 4 volunteers, 2 kids and 2 adults, grown-ups as you call them. Okay, here's 1 volunteer. Can I ask again? Can I get 2 adults? The people in the back. You all are adults, okay? There's 1, back left. Thank you. And 1, back middle. Please come forward. We need 1 more adult, or 1 more volunteer that's not an adult. Anyone want to come on up here. All right, come on up to the front. Okay, Kevin, you were the first grown-up to raise your hand. You come over here and stand next to the children. Ashley, I need your help.
Okay.
Can you put these? Blindfold them.
Well, that's
blindfold all of them.
Okay.
Don't worry. There's a lot of witnesses. You're safe. Okay, don't take the blindfold off, please, because I need you to do this this activity. And you can't see it. Don't look, Kevin. All right, leave the blindfold down there. Don't move. You might bonk into something, okay? All right, Rose, don't let yourself see.
What do I do?
Okay, I want you to take these.
Okay.
Can you open that?
Okay.
All right, start with Rose. Okay. Okay, so what we're going to do is, sorry, Rose, I didn't know that this would be this whole thing. Okay, so we're going to start. So what we're going to do is we are going to put something in front of your nose, and you're going to, it's safe, okay? And you're going to take a big sniff, okay? And what I want you to do is I want you to tell me what does it make you think of from your life, okay?
Okay.
All right.
You ready, Thea?
Ready to take a big sniff?
You ready? Sniff? What does it smell like?
What does it make you think of from your life? Sad. What, sad? Okay, it makes you think sad. All right. We'll talk to some people about that. All right, Kevin's turn.
Get ready.
Take a big sniff.
The glass jar.
Oh.
What does it make you think of? What does it make you remember from your life?
Drawing.
Okay. All right, Rose's turn. Take a big sniff from this thing, okay? It smells good, okay?
Don't look.
What does it make you think of? Don't look. What's it make you think of?
Remind you of?
Anything? Nothing. Okay. That is an answer. All right, let's try this one.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I'll trade you.
Trade.
All right, start with the kids.
Okay. Rose, you ready?
All right, let's try another one, Rose. Stand there.
You're gonna smell it, and then you're gonna. What does it make you think of? Smell?
Oh, okay. Toffee. What does it make you think of? Toffee again. All right. Kevin's turn.
All right, here we go.
What does that make you think of? What does it remind you of?
Leaves.
Leaves. Okay, I like that. I don't know if that's a real thing. All right.
All right, one more.
Can you open that one?
I think so. Give me a task that I give Johan.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Start over there.
Okay, Rose.
Last one, Rose. Don't know what it smells like. This one might be my fault. I did the chores too early.
Rose said leaves, but
leaves. Okay.
Can you smell?
All right, Thea, you ready?
Does it smell like anything?
Nothing.
Okay.
All right, Kevin. It all depends on you.
It might tickle your nose. Sorry.
Smells like a dog.
Smells like a dog. Okay.
There, yes.
Thank you. Can we get a round of applause for our volunteers here?
No.
Thank you so much.
Really,
it doesn't smell like much, okay? Wait. So do you guys want to see what everything was? You can take off your blindfolds or sleep masks in the adult's case.
Look.
Highly recommend a sleep mask.
This is the first thing you smell?
The first thing, what is that?
Crayons.
Crayons.
You know what this is?
Toffee. Coffee for translating for you all. And the last thing was grass. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for volunteering. I appreciate it.
Do you want me to put this in here?
You can just set them on the ground. Thank you. So as you can see, they had a variety of responses to these smells, right? And we know when we smell things, oftentimes it can kind of transport us to some memory that we have, right? I don't know if you've ever had this situation happen where when you smell something, you walk into a room and a smell hits you, you kind of get this like memory that just comes along with it, right? And that's what's happening to Peter here, right? In this situation, Jesus is giving him another post-it note, another reminder that Peter needs to be able to follow him as one of his disciples. And he's reminding Peter of his sin. In this story, he's very vividly, and it's kind of behind the scenes a little bit, but he's reminding Peter of his sin. Jesus has set this situation up intentionally. Does anyone remember what Peter did after Jesus was arrested? Denied him? Kids, do you remember what did Peter say after Jesus got arrested? Did Peter say something a lot of times? No? What did he say? Someone asked him, "Weren't you one of Jesus' disciples?" And what did Peter say? He said, "No." He said, "No." He said, "No." How many times? Three times he said, "No." And then what happened right after the third time he said, "No"? The rooster crowed, right? And what you might not remember was during that time when Peter was denying Jesus, he was standing by a fire. John says that Jesus was standing, or that Peter was standing by a fire, warming himself when Jesus was being interrogated and tortured. And John uses the same word there as he uses in this verse, the charcoal fire. Have you guys ever smelled charcoal before? Have you ever smelled charcoal burning? Is it easy to smell from a ways away? Is it just kind of like, you know what it is, right, when you smell it? You know what it is. I think of camping. I don't know. I think of camping, grilling out, things like that. But it brings me there instantly, right? Charcoal fire, like charcoal burning is a very, like, pungent, very strong smell. And so Peter is sitting there eating breakfast, smelling this charcoal fire. This is the third time that Jesus has appeared to his disciples, the third time that Peter has seen the risen Savior. And Jesus then asks Peter this question three times, right? And we see after the third time that Jesus asks this question, "Do you love me?" Peter is grieved. What does grieved mean? Anyone can answer. What does grieved mean? Shout it out.
Sad.
His heart hurts. When Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" his heart hurts. Do you think Peter was maybe reminded of something that he said three times? Do you think Peter remembered what he said about Jesus? He said he didn't know who Jesus was. Do you think that hurt Jesus when Peter said that? Yeah. I think it did too. And I think Peter remembered in this moment, and Jesus asked him and set the situation up so that Peter would remember. Jesus intended for him to be reminded of his sin. Jesus remembers our sin, and he doesn't want us to just move past it, to just forget about it. He was sacrificed for it. He died for our sin. And if we ignore our sin, if we just gloss over it in our lives and move past it, then the forgiveness that he paid for loses its power. There's no need for forgiveness without sin. We can't just ignore our sin and claim that we love Jesus. He sent his Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin so that we could be reconciled to him. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It starts with, if we confess, right? Jesus is giving Peter this post-it note. He's reminding him of his sin. But he also hammers home something else. Jesus hammers home to Peter that his sin does not define who he is. Do you guys know of any superheroes? Personally, yeah. Do any of the kids know any superheroes? Throw out some superhero names. Your dad, okay. How much money did you give her for that one, David? Okay, all right, that was a good one. Okay, and you said your dad, or you passed it on, okay. Well, who are some other superheroes? Are there any like ones that are famous? Zachy? His mom, okay, all right, I see. Oh, what? Iron Man. Okay, that's kind of what I was looking for. Iron Man. That's someone who's like, it's their job to do it, you know? Superman? Is that what you said? Who are some other superheroes? Wonder Woman? Jesus? Okay, yeah, definitely. They have not come out with this Marvel universe yet, but.
Black Widow.
Black Widow? Who's another superhero?
Nothing.
Okay. That is the top answer today. Zachy? Batman? Okay, lots of superheroes. How can you tell that someone is a superhero? How can you tell, Thea?
Spider.
You sure it's not nothing? Nothing? Spiders? So you can tell from spiders? Okay, how else can you tell?
They have powers.
They have powers?
They look silly.
They look silly? Okay, generally? Or okay.
They help people.
Sometimes they're rich. Okay.
They
wear a costume. Okay, yeah. Sometimes they do wear a costume.
Oh.
I don't know if you know this, but Birdman is here today. Do you recognize me? I can't even see you. Superheroes wear costumes. A lot of times they wear pajamas. No, masks. This is not pajamas. This is not my pajamas, okay? And this is not my sleep mask. But they wear masks, and when a superhero becomes a superhero, when they get their power, they kind of get a new identity, right? They become a different person in a lot of ways. And just like superheroes get a new identity when they get their powers, Jesus gives his disciples a new identity. And we see that Jesus is reminding Peter of this here. He's giving him a post-it note to remind him of their new identity. And when Jesus is asking Peter these questions, we're seeing that when Peter says, "You know that I love you," right? Over and over, Peter says, "You know that I love you." Jesus graciously forgives him. He forgives him. And he gives him instructions on how to serve him. He tells him what to do. He still considers Peter his disciple, even after those denials, those repeated betrayals that Peter said about him. And Jesus, in this story, if you remember the setup that we talked about, the context for this, he's reminding Peter about when he first called him to be a disciple. You might remember, we had a sermon on this in Luke chapter 5. There was this same scenario, right? The disciples, before Jesus had called them to be disciples, they're out on the water fishing. They're fishing all night long. They didn't catch anything. And then Jesus comes to the shore. Peter had never met him before at this point. And Jesus says, "Let down your net on the right side of your boat." And so they're kind of they're like, we fished all night and there was nothing. Like, there's nothing, we're not going to catch anything, but I guess we'll do it, okay? And so they let down their net, they catch a huge load of fish. They can't even pull it in. This is happening again. They're catching so many fish after they fished all night. And Jesus again, just like he told Peter when he first called them, he said, follow me. He looks at Peter and he says, follow me. Jesus first called Peter and he told him that he was no longer going to be a fisherman. His identity was different. He was going to be a fisher of men. Jesus was going to give him the superpower of catching people instead of fish. Jesus here is reminding Peter of his calling. Peter's sin did not change his identity of being a disciple of Jesus, even though it was a great sin, even though it pierced Jesus and hurt him. Even though he denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus is still calling Peter to follow him. Peter says over and over, Jesus, you know that I love you. Peter is aware of his sin, and he knows he has not loved Jesus perfectly, or even as close, even close to perfect. He knows that Jesus knows him to his core. And despite our sin, Jesus still offers forgiveness to us and still wants to entrust us to be his disciples. He still calls us his children. Your sin does not define you either. Your Savior defines you. Your Savior is the one who gives you your identity. And he calls you to follow him despite your sin. So as Peter and Jesus had this conversation, we can remember these 3 post-it notes, right? These 3 post-it notes, these reminders that Jesus gives to Peter for how he can continue to follow him after he goes. He reminds Peter about the most important question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Imagine Jesus standing before you, asking you this question. Abe Choi, do you love Jesus? Josiah Kosher, do you love Jesus? Camille Lanham, do you love Jesus? This is the question that Jesus asked one of his most faithful disciples, the question we should ask ourselves as well. Do we love him? He reminds us of our sin. Allow your sin to grieve you. Allow it to make you sad. Remember the pain that it caused Jesus on the cross. But don't allow your sin to define who you are going forward. Because Jesus also reminds us of our identity. You are a child of God, and he offers forgiveness to any who would accept it. He died on the cross to forgive your sin. And he still calls you to follow him despite your sin. Is your love for Jesus resulting in a life of following him? Do you love Jesus? That's the question he's asking us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this question is one we maybe wouldn't have asked or thought to ask. And Lord, so often we can skip past our love for you, and skip straight to doing things, straight to trying to live life the right way, how we think you would want us to, but we can skip over love. And so, Lord, would you stop us and ask us this question over and over in our lives, Lord? Do we love you? God, would you hit us with this question when we are focused on other things besides our love for you? God, would you help us to ask this foundational question and help us remember who we are and what you've done for us? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of communion now. So our ushers are going to come pass this out. And Pastor Danny is going to come up and lead us in that time. If you are a believer, everyone is welcome to take this together. Let's hold it till the end. And while you're waiting and while you're holding the elements, meditate on Jesus' sacrifice for us and how he died for you. and think about your love for him in this time.